2 Kings chapter 6. And this lesson is lesson 16 in the studies of Elisha. It finds us in 2 Kings 6, starting in verse 8 and up to verse 23. Starting in verse 8 for this next miracle and finishing up in verse 23. Let's look at this together. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, "In such and such a place shall be my camp." And the man of God, Elisha, sent unto the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians are come down." And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing, and he called his servants and said unto them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of his servants said, "Nay, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber." So the king said, "Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore sent the king thither horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we go? Or how shall we do?" And Elisha answered him and said, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, my servant's eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. And when they came down to him, that is the enemy, Elisha prayed unto the Lord and said, "Smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness." And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. And Elisha said unto them, "This is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man to whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. And it came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men, that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. And the king of Israel said unto Elisha, when he saw them, "My father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them?" And Elisha answered, "Thou shalt not smite them. Wouldest thou smite those whom thou hast taken captive with thy sword and with thy bow? Set bread and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." And the king prepared a great provision for them, and when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Bruce, would you pray for us, please? Well, this has got several very interesting thoughts and points. The first thing that I see is then the king of Syria warred against Israel. Now, you don't have to go back, but a couple of lessons that we've spoken in the miracles and life of Elisha, to note that Nahum was, I don't know if he was second in command, but he was somebody who was very, captain of the host of the whole Syrian army. So he was somebody, something. The king knew about him. The king sent him into Israel. And the Lord healed Nahum. Healed him. But the enemies of grace, the enemies of God, and the enemies of his gospel, this is what they do. You would think he would say, for his sake, for my servant, my glorious captain of hosts' sake, I'm not going to make war. But here we are, the king of Syria warred against Israel. He's taking counsel with his servants and saying, I'm going to do this. I'm going to ambush the king of Israel. I'm going to ambush. I'm going to kill Israelites. The enemies of God's people, first thought, and God's gospel, and God himself, did he not see, behold, the restoring of this leper tenfold, however many times you want to say how glorious that would have been. Now, nevertheless, the haters of gospel always hate the gospel, unless God does a work for them. May we never underestimate the haters of all things Christ, all things grace, and all things graceful. Be them our neighbors, our friends, or family. But we'll see. We're not to hate them bad. We'll see what we're supposed to do, which is exactly what happens in this passage. The only true remedy for this unwarranted hate is the sovereign love and grace of God in Christ Jesus. Then the king of Syria, notwithstanding, and we could say the same thing about Gehazi. Gehazi had seen, the miracles of the man of God. He had seen salvation in type and picture of these miracles that his master performed. And he still is covetous, and his heart went out after the gold. And so it's not unusual to see these things. But this is somebody who hates the gospel. These are God haters, which we all were. We know that. But that's the first thing I see, is it doesn't matter. Unless God does a work of grace in them, it doesn't matter if they're religious or not religious, if they're family or friends or neighbors or whatever, it wouldn't take just that much for them to turn and turn on the people of God. But the second thing I see in here is in verse 9. The man of God, Elisha, he's concerned about his own king. So he says unto his king, beware that you don't pass this way, because you do, the king of Syria is waiting. But does he believe him? Doesn't look like it. Oh, unbelief. Unbelief has no foundation. I know we can justify what we do and say, well, this and that, all these different things. But when it comes down to it, if we're doing something out of unbelief, there's no foundation. It's sandy ground. So here's this king of Israel. He says, the man of God says, don't go this way. But look at verse 10. He sends men down to check out his story. That's what he's doing. He's sending his men to check out his story. He didn't simply believe the prophet of God. God's men, God's man, believers, are truth seekers and truth speakers. Is not our word our bond? And we're going to talk about today, but the believer's word is to be believed, and that's his bond. Listen to the truth and believe it, or as simply as the Bereans, perhaps search the word and confirm what's being said is true. We are not to walk by sight or visual aids to prove the grace of God. The man of God said, don't go there, and he goes there. He checks, he sends some people out. You say, well, he was being prudent. Well, I'd say he was in unbelief. Because the preachers of God and believers are truth speakers and truth seekers. Not once or twice, it says, did the king, was he spared. saved himself, not once or twice, but numerous times. God showed this king, the king of Israel, his protection and his care. I say to ourselves, to me, oh, we of little faith, let us simply trust God's naked truth to our souls. If we don't have direction and we're reading in direction, or somebody, we talk to a believer and they seem to share some things that gives us direction, let us simply obey. Let us not go down and check this out. I'm going to go see with my own eyes. No, that's, didn't Thomas say that? I'm not going to believe. And the Lord was gracious to him. I'm not saying he's going to cast us off or anything. He was gracious, and the Lord is ever gracious with us who stumble time and time again. But let us just simply believe. Let us walk in faith. That's the second thing. The third thing I see, if our enemies cannot get to God, they will come for us. Verse 13 and 14. Okay, so the king of Syria is grieved because Elisha knows what he's thinking when he's sleeping. And he's told this by one of his servants. So he goes, now let's set a trap for him. We can't get to God, but we can get to God's messengers. If our enemies cannot get to God, they will come for us. Such is man by nature. We are enmity with God. We have all gone astray, says the scriptures. There's none that seek God or follow him. But, fear not. Fear not. Even though they're coming to get, even though they're, you know, whatever it may be that's heading our way. Verse 15, he's the servants, this young man, it's not Gehazi, it's just a different servant. He says, what are we going to do? Don't fear them, brethren. God is able to deliver us from these lions, like he did Daniel, or these threats. And if not, as one writer says, he will usher us to glory. And then we will be at final rest and peace. Now here's a key thought as far as I'm concerned, as far as what I've seen and what I've been looking at over the last couple of weeks and hopefully being taught of the grace of God. Verses 15 through 18. The servant of Elisha rises up early, sees he's surrounded by an army. But Elisha says, look at these words, verse 16, I'm going to read them all. And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And that's the same today. This is Old Testament. It's the same today. It's the same today. Bruce talked about in Sunday Bible class, Job. He's got a hedge. The Lord has a hedge around each of us. Nothing can get through. Material, whether we can see it or not, nothing's going to get through if God doesn't allow it. He says, don't fear, because there's more that are with us than they with them. And then Elisha prayed, and here's what I pray for myself. Here's what I pray for each of us here tonight. And for those who haven't seen the grace of God, that the Lord would do this. This is almost a universal prayer. I think this is so aptly timed. This is so timely. And Elisha prayed and said, this is what he said. I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Let's stop right there. You could pray that for everything. You have a brother or sister who's stumbling. Lord, open their eyes that they may see. Give me a word of compassion. In all these different things. You have children. You have a mother, father. You have parents. You have neighbors that don't understand the gospel. God, open their eyes that they may see. Just short, compact, and simple. Open their eyes. This is what we all need continually. Daily. Give us this day our daily bread. In the midst of fear, whatever that fear, whatever the name of that fear is that you have right now or I have right now, in the midst of fear, God, open my eyes that I may see. I may see I'm protected. I may see they can't do anything outside of his governing hand. Melinda and I, we spent quite a bit of time in the last 3 or 4 days talking about, do we really believe God is sovereign? I mean, do we really believe that God is sovereign? Do we really believe in predestination? We talk about it all the time, every Sunday and week, midweek. Talk about predestination. We talk about this. We talk about that. Do we really believe it? Do we really believe that it's appointed unto man once to die, and then after that, to judgment? So, like that song says, we are immortal. until he takes us home. And that's what I was talking to Bruce Crabtree, and I said, well, I said, Claire, her work must not be done. Because the Lord's going to, looks like he's going to bring her out of all this stuff. But they had committed her to the Lord. He said, you know, whatever the Lord's will is, we'll submit to that. Do we really believe that God is sovereign? In the midst of fear, this is what we should pray for one another. Lord, open our eyes, their eyes, my eyes, that we may see. In the midst of trial, in the midst of hardships, in the midst of our warfare, we must have faith and grace to help the Hebrews in the time of need. We must continually, daily, weekly have God open our eyes of faith, strong faith, to see all our foes, whatever they are, financial, physical, whatever they are, defeated under his mighty arms. Open our eyes to see that. It doesn't look good. A lot of things don't look good with the eyes. A lot of things don't sound good with the ears. But this is scripture. I'd say this is my trump card. This is my trump card. It trumps everything. And I'm telling myself this because I struggle just like you do. As Tim James would say, we're all cut from the same cloth. Definitely. Open our eyes that we may see. A very good prayer to humbly ask for guidance, courage, strength, life, joy, salvation in every state we find ourselves in. This would be a very appropriate utterance or groaning unto our God. The last thing I see is in verse 19 through 23. They're blind. They follow Elisha. He leads them to Samaria. He asks God to open their eyes. They're opened. They're surrounded by their enemies, which would be our enemies. Or, you know, our enemies of great whatever. These are Syrians. They wanted to kill them. They wanted to kill all Israelites. They bring them into the camp of the Israelites. And now they're surrounded. They're opening their eyes. The king says, what do I do with them? And Elisha said, show them mercy. Now, if this isn't, first of all, a good picture of salvation, we're blind. They're sure death. They're surrounded. They can't get out. But they receive mercy instead of judgment. Yeah, they were guilty. Yeah, they are confessed enemies of the Israelites. Confessed enemies of the grace of God, of the man of God, of the gospel of God. But mercy instead of judgment. Grace, full and free. Nourishment, after they were there, he says, no, feed them. So they ate, and they drank, and they drank, and then they went away to their home. There's nourishment after blindness, after the blindness is cured and healing, and that's what the gospel does. That's what salvation is. We're healed. We don't deserve it. They didn't ask for it. They've got it. And we know it's through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his blood and righteousness, through the just, dying for the unjust. And yet he doesn't leave us alone. There is these things that take place after salvation. And one of them is we eat and drink. Like Mephibosheth. Just keep eating and drinking. Keep eating and drinking. And there's peace, which is had or known. In the last part of verse 23. So the bands of Syria came no more into the land of Israel. Peace. That's what we have after we've been through the mill, so to speak, after we've been through the Lord shows us what we are, what we're capable of. Chaos, murder, harm, everything against God. And he does, on his own mercy, saves us and calls us and quickens us through the merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. We feast on his word, drink on his word, we feast, and he gives us peace. Peace that passes all understanding. The second thing I see in here, it's a good lesson in our response to our enemies. Though they hate us, though we are under different order, we're under different orders from our king. We're not to know vengeance. We're to live peaceably. We're to do good. We're to pray for them. We're to show them kindness. The third thing I see in this last section is the king of Israel. He learned something. back to look at it in verse 21. Here's what would we call this, Bruce? It'd be shooting fish in a barrel. They're right there. Your enemies, we could wipe them out, and then we know we would have peace because we have the upper hand. But that's human logic. The biggest gun wins. That's human logic. The king of Israel, he learned something, and this is what he learned. The king of Israel said to Elisha, when he saw that, my father, shall I smite them or shall I smite them? He asked this time. He asked. Elisha came to him the first time. He didn't believe him. He sent some. Elisha says, don't do it. And he doesn't do it. So what that tells me here is the king learned something here. He grew in grace. He asked the prophet what to do before just doing it his own way or his own will. And I would say that's a sign or a symbol or a picture of growth and grace in each believer. We in all things and in all manner of life, and its daily decisions that come upon us, we are to submit to God's perfect, glorious will before our own will. Before we just go do it. What does it say in James? If the Lord wills, we'll go into town. This is going into the country mart and shopping. If the Lord wills, that's where I'm going to go. Because this, air conditioner may break down. You may not make it. We get so ahead of ourselves. We think too much of ourselves. In the end, what he's saying is, thy will be done. Lord, thy will be done. And it sounds like it's a small thing. But I believe it shows maturity and grace. I believe it shows growth and grace. Is when we can let's thank the Lord. And it doesn't have to be a big production or any of that kind of stuff. It could be in the secret chambers of your heart. Lord, this is what I would do. But you know what? Your will be done. Your will be done. And at least he learned something. And if we're his, we will. He has us. He's not going to let go of us. He's not going to forsake us. We will learn daily, I hope. That song that Matt and Tara love, and that passage of scripture, Lamentations, that I love, we all love. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Are we looking for mercies? Are we looking to do and honor his will? I pray it be so. Matt, would you close us?